for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, July the 5th, 2008, Clement Humbard is the speaker of the service, teaching on Short of the Glory.
Look up, look up. We're going to pray, look up. Six times the Bible tells us that Jesus looked up when he prayed. Normally, if we're going to point out earthly directions where God is, where Satan is, we stomp the devil under our feet because Jesus said, you'll tread upon serpents and scorpions. Is that right? But when we talk about heaven or God and we lift holy hands when we pray, it's hard to look down and lift holy hands. A little difficult. If you're still a babe in Christ and you can't pray except you, now, Almighty God of Heavenly Father, get over it. Grow up. He's our very life. In Him we live and have our being. Thank you, Lord Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords, we worship, honor, magnify, and adore you. We praise you. Unlimited by time, space, or natural law, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of whose kingdom there is no end. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Grant me this mercy, miracle, Lord. After this service is over, may no man be singing except that lowly Nazarene. And no voice heard except that still small voice that leads men back to the fold of God. We'll be very careful to come back in Thy presence and praise Thee and honor Thee and worship Thee for every eternal work, for every burden that's lifted, for every soul that is enlightened, and for all these partakers of the divine nature in this place today. Grant it, I pray, through the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, say it with me, for all have sinned.
All have sinned.
And come short of the glory of God, say it. Now say it again.
All have sinned.
You've heard all your life about all have sinned, and that is true. You miss the mark. There are sins, many definitions of sin. But thank God we know Him that knew no sin. All mankind knows what it is. God said, do it. Well, not me. I belong to the church. God says, don't do it. No one will know. The rules and the laws of God are for others, not for me. Sin is disobedience to God. All have come short of the glory of God, and all has sinned. Now, there's many classifications of sin. There's sins of commission, I just mentioned. Sins of commission, God says, don't you do that. The wages of sin is death, and you'll reap what you sow. But stubbornness and rebellion, we'll get to the heart of this. If God will have mercy, you're going to hear something today that'll change your life completely. And if I'm able to present it and bring it forth, God will just have to help. Now, I didn't get nervous when others are up here. If God wants to take over the whole service, that's all right with me. In another direction, it's all right with me. I'm never induced this morning. I'll slip by Brother Glenn before I leave the building and say, I love you, Brother Glenn, and God bless you, and wasn't it wonderful how God took over that service. It doesn't have to be shouting. And did you know some of the greatest things God does is in quietness? Don't ever mistake. Now, don't be nervous when people are loud. And God moves loudly. But we, as Holy Ghost people, get in a lot of little ruts. Louder the noise, the more the power. But God said, be still and know I am the Lord. Twice in the New Testament says, study to be quiet. Why don't we have a seminar and teach quietness before God? Try to quieten the American people down 5 minutes and just keep their mind on Christ. It can't be done. I've tried it. Boy, they've stood and said, I was thinking the Statue of Liberty last time we visited. Couldn't keep my mind on Jesus. I was thinking of the washing machines broken and what to do with my laundry. My Lord, if we have no meditation, how can God speak? Prayer is asking and receiving, or it's not prayer, and prayer is a two-way conversation. You're talking with the Lord. Shut up sometimes and start listening. Now, the sins of commission, they're sins of omission.
Yes.
How God's gripped my heart with this the last few days. Paul said that every man's work will be tried by fire. Bible said God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know why there'll be tears in heaven? Apostle Paul said that every man's work will be tried by fire. God have mercy, I don't want to stand there with an armload of leaves. Playing religion, trying to attract and show everybody how spiritual I am. Putting on an act. I thank God for the direction of the Holy Spirit with this dear lady today. God bless you, honey. We appreciate you. At Rex's funeral, not at his funeral, but his homecoming celebration, my brother, recently. Well, at the private burial, our family always has public funeral, private burial. We had a great celebration for 2 hours, then the next day, just the family and close members of the family, and I love it. We met to bury him. But there's 40, 50, 60 people that were close members of the family. And when I was finished, all of us were singing, I didn't ask them to, armed up, armed arm, will the circle be unbroken. And just soon as that was finished, Van Payne, Glenn Payne of the Cathedral Quartet's widow, Van was taken home about 2 years ago while he was singing in his own house with others. Oh, victory in Jesus, had his hands uplifted. What a way to go. So just soon as I was finished with the burial, it broke out, victory in Jesus. God took over, and Benny Hinn had already left, but Susan Hinn was still there, and Suzanne, and we've known Benny before they ever married. But anyway, she is with the two of us, greeting the family, but it brought revival spirit, and it had ended up a divine healing service. Everybody there wanted me to pray for him. And Van screamed and praised God and said, where's Clement? God said, if he had lay hands on me, I'll be completely healed from this terminal illness. Well, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
Now, sins of commission, sins of omission. A few others, sins of disposition. My God, Lord have mercy. Mental sins. Jesus said that if you lust after a woman and watch her, he said mentally. I've heard some men say, that's the same as committing adultery with her. I doubt that. Because you may break up a home, a couple of homes, and disgrace yourself and all the rest. But he said, he shows us not the outward appearance, but of the heart. Recently it is said that, and Brother Hall wrote in one of his books lately, that in Pentecostal charismatic circles, I think he said 33% to 40% of ministers that they questioned said that they were bound by pornography. Then they're preaching Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. That's not the blessed Holy Spirit. The Word of God declares that Jesus, He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So there's sins, mental sins. Let's go another one. Emotional sins. Well, Brother Clement, you don't understand. Our family's always this way. I thought you was in God's family. We just blow a fuse at anything. Get saved. Get born again. Get filled with the Spirit.
Freedom.
There's sins of attitude.
Come on.
We could go on with a list of sins, but you've heard that all week, one way or another. But lift your hand with me. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Now let's praise the Lord. Do you believe it? But what about that other part? For all have sinned. It said, and come short of the glory of God. Angels weep during this church age. This is not the age of grace alone. Psalms 84:11 said, nothing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. And it said, He will give grace and glory. This is the age of grace and glory. But after Christ left this earth, in that first generation, at least 11 of the disciples didn't die. They were killed. My, what a way to go. No old age. Forget your calendar age. Bernadine, forget your calendar age. Your youth will be restored like the eagles. Now, in Luke 24, before I go any farther, I want to remind you of one other little thing. In Luke 24, 44, Christ, the whole Bible is centered around one person. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first, the last. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Huotos, He's automatically the same. Not the color of His hair, the color of His eyes. That's not necessarily what it's talking about. It's talking about the Spirit of God rest upon Him, the sevenfold Spirit from Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a root out of the stem of Jesse. And this branch, and Isaiah says much about this, and also Zechariah, 3rd chapter, 6th chapter, the branch of the Lord. I've mentioned to you before because it's one of the great neglected truths. There are four capacities of the branch of the Lord, and it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the branch of the Lord. He is, first of all, He is the branch, Emmanuel. Isn't it odd that Isaiah said His name shall be called Emmanuel? They gave Him the name Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one in His day called Him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? All right. Normally the same thing in the Hebrew text is dwell. Emmanuel, dwell, and that is the presence of Jehovah God, the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, that delivered Daniel from lion's den, Hebrew children from the fire furnace. It's that God that created all things. And He is Emmanuel. He has revealed Himself and manifested Himself that He's everywhere. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, Sheol, Thou art there. Right. He said, if I take the wings of the morning. Boy, I'd like to use that for a text. I haven't preached on it in a long time because God's given so many new things on it. But He said, take the wings of the morning, go out through space. He is still there. That's the universal presence of the branch, Emmanuel. He's everywhere.
That's right.
A friend of mine, he traveled with me after he got converted and saved for a while with the big tent and equipment. He was in a bar and got saved in a bar. I mean, it's a rough place. He lived next door to Assembly of God preacher, but the preacher said, I don't have any time to fool with that drunk. And he'd drink everything away, and he even drank till he did his shoes. He traded his shoes, the last pair of shoes he had, for a drink.
My God.
And he had little girls at home, practically starving. One of the little girls had a birthday about that time, and they had one egg in the house. And they boiled the egg, sliced it, got the little girl and sang happy birthday to you, and they all had a little sliver of it. I'll tell you, all is sin. Sin's going to take you farther than you want to go.
That's right.
Sin is going to keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin is going to make you worse than you ever want to be. And sin is going to cost you more than you want to pay. But my friend, about that time, he belonged to the Episcopal Church, but the Episcopal priest got drunk and stole the fire truck, and they sprayed someone get killed, and he turned, and the priest turned on the, I don't make these up, I can give you the name and a date and all the rest of it. And he turned the siren on, the red lights, and screamed back and forth through town 2 or 3 hours, disturbed everybody, got them up in the middle of the night. And so my friend thought, well, Pentecostal preacher next door won't even say hi to us. And my priest, I can't get anything from him. He's acting crazier than I am. And so he's at the bar. The hound dog of heaven started after him. That conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he slipped off the bar stool and knelt down. Said, God, if there be a God in heaven, I'm sick and tired of my life and everybody else's. Lord, I'm not going to let them. If there be a heaven, I'm not going to let any of this keep me out of heaven. Be merciful to me. And God gloriously, gloriously saved him while the guys was laughing. Said, ah, listen, he's getting religion. Boy, he didn't get religion. He got salvation. But all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. I said this is the age of grace and glory. And I weep as I realize the church should have had the glory of God on it from the beginning. There's such error. And the hardest thing to do, try it, is correct spiritual error. All at once, everybody is after you, not after the truth. If you want to be denounced, Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you, say all manner of evil against you, false reviles, say, great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are you, happy, I say, Lord, once in a while I say, Lord, I'm not too selfish. Spread that blessing around to a few of your other children. We've come short of what?
Glory.
Couldn't come short of it if it didn't exist. What does the word Ichabod say? The glory departed. Glory can't depart if it wasn't there. Psalms 8 chapter and Hebrews the 2nd chapter. What is man that thou art mindful of him and that thou visited him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. I remind you one place it says the gods. True to translation. Thou hast created him, formed him in your own image, God. Genesis 1:26. But back to Psalms 8. Thou hast crowned him with what?
Glory.
Honor and glory. Let man be a liar, let God be true.
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden, man was crowned with honor and glory. And thou hast put all things in subjection. How many things?
All.
Under his feet. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 said, thanks be unto God who sometimes gives me the victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Speaking of the great day in Rome when an army general came from far off battlefield with the captives and spoils of war. A messenger was sent ahead to the Roman Senate in the days of Paul and said, this general's coming home. He has victory, bringing the whole world under the heel of Rome. There's another nation fell. And that day is a celebration like the 4th of July, the Mardi Gras, Christmas time, and you name it. All one in one. Biggest celebration Rome had ever had was a day of triumph. Paul said Christ always causeth us to have a day of triumph. Always. That army general is brought in riding in a gold and an ivory chariot with white Arabian horses, and 1 to 3 million people were lined all over the streets in a viewing stand with the senators of Rome there. And here came this general riding with a gold and a silver staff in his hand and a wreath of flowers around his neck. And then he had a little slave running along, cursing him and spitting at him, lest he thought he was Caesar and God himself. Then behind him he had the spoils of war. The king of some nation in a cage of belittling. Then he had captives leading them. See, the devil shouldn't be chasing you. You should be chasing the devil. Get up every morning and say, thanks be unto God. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, thank you for sending my eternal spirit to this earth for a few short years, and then I come on back to thee. Ecclesiastes said, the dust shall return unto dust, but the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. It's a mystery existence. You and I existed before we ever came to this earth. God said, Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before you was ever born, before you was ever conceived. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, there's a man sent from God whose name was John. He already existed. Now he's sent. Boy, this is going to get good. I might just drop the triumph temporarily. Psalms 139 said, boy, this is getting technical. I knew you before you was ever conceived, ever in your mother's womb, and every member of your body and organ was numbered. You're not even made yet. Yes, there's a man sent from God whose name was John. There's a man sent from God whose name was Jeremiah. He's a prophet for, you know, we always try to seek God. That's great. But God must seek us before we seek Him. No man can come to me, Jesus said, and let the Father draw him. You cannot be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment and have a revelation of Jesus Christ as personal Savior unless God's Spirit is dealing with you. It's impossible. So you are an eternal, presently mortal being. When you die, earthly death, you still exist in the spirit. To exist forever this way, you've had to exist forever that way. I'm not trying to explain it. And another thing, loved ones in glory. I'll just throw this in for us. Did you know they're praying for you? They're interceding for you. Loved ones in glory. You're compassed about with such a multitude of witnesses. Now, when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it was a praise and worship center. And the Shekinah glory, like Emmanuel, the glory was there. Eden was a praise and worship, sky dome praise and worship center. Adam and Eve did not wear clothes. They didn't need them because of the Shekinah glory. The same word light, Jerry mentioned this about 2 years ago here. In Hebrew, the word skin and light are the same. And here we are playing religion, seeking little blessings. And one of the closest things to blasphemy is praising God in our prayer, in our worship, in our singing, sometimes with hands uplifted and not mean it.
Thinking about something.
It's all right to make a step of faith. Sometimes we don't feel like praying. We pray anyway. Pray in the flesh if you have to a while till you get in the Spirit. And God will honor an honest heart, an open mind, an honest heart, and willing spirit. God will always meet. And if you have to take a step of faith for healing or anything else or seeking God or what, or praising God, well, I don't feel like. Go ahead with an honest heart, and before long there, you will have to do it. It'll just pour out of you. But be careful that you don't break one of the commandments. Now, this is pretty strong, taking God's name in vain. My God, if I pray and don't mean it, if I praise God and don't mean it, trying not to mean it, take God's name in vain. So Adam and Eve had the glory of God. Now, here is the nucleus of this sermon because there's just so much in every direction. Incidentally, the Father of Glory. Incidentally, this, I never sell books as such, but this, I can't get to 2% of what you can find and the Scriptures relating this. It's not how to pick up the man at morning. We've heard that for 2,000 years. Not how to drive your tent stakes. The neglected truth of God's glory. You say, oh, Brother Clement, I've got to preach a negative right now because the Word of God has the general truth, the negative truth, the positive truth. How many of us heard all our lives since early Sunday school class, card class with the little kids before you went to school? God doesn't share His glory with any man. How many ever heard that? You didn't. You didn't hear that? It's the biggest piece of deception almost that's going down the track this day and time. Why did God create man and crown him with honor and glory? Now, how many love to give glory to God? Think we should? I do 100%. You can't give God back something you don't have. How can you give God praise if you don't have a praise? Yeah, how can you love God if you don't have any love? Oh, God help us. God help us. You say, well, Brother Clem, in Isaiah 42 and 48, I can't wait till this service is over. I'm going to get you straightened out. Come on, brother. I'm ready for you. But you better say, thus saith the Word of God. Said God won't share His glory with another. Isaiah 42. Read the rest of that verse. With these graven images and these idols that man has made. You're misapplying God's Word. You're taking it because that's the way you and I have been taught all our life. Well, Isaiah 48 said, God won't share His glory with another. Go and read the whole chapter. It said, I'm not going to share my glory with these heathen nations. I've already chosen the Jacob, the Israel of. And they're rebellious, He said in that chapter. They turn their back against Me. They're stubborn and rebellious. But my grace is sufficient, and I'm still dealing with this nation, and I'm not going to give any kind of glory out there to heathen nation that worships the idols, man-made things. Well, Bible said, don't let any man glory before the Lord. Didn't say that. Get the right translation. Said, don't let any man boast before the Lord. That's what it says. You better not boast before God. Don't ever ask God to humble you. He'll knock the trotters out from under you and expose you coast to coast. Bible said, humble yourself underneath the hand of God. It's God's intention that we have the glory. Now I'm going to get into something real serious. I'd love to just talk about the glory, but get the last tape here, or the last CD. What was it entitled? No, I think it said prophetic. It says prophecy. The restoration of the glory. All right, the restoration of the glory. Yes, and that has the praise of His glory. We not only have the glory upon us, we are the praise of His glory. Ephesians says it four times, Philippians one time, and that means the ultimate, the best, according, and I can't get in that now, but it's rich. Time, place, and order.
It's going to superimpose it on us, that's right.
Super thing. See, we're in the end times. Quit playing religion. Quit eating yesterday's manna.
Come on.
Quit running after this, that, and the other all the time. You'll get lean in your soul. Go where God wants you to go. Some people have this stop. Go all over the nation. Continue. Borrow money. Go here. Go there. I thank God we can go in places even like this. But I want to tell you, if you do it continually, you better stop before God and get the Word of God. And there's no bigger disgrace than to get out in a prophetic or something else with the reverse pyramid. You don't have the Word of God. You didn't build a Christian character. They'll make shipwreck every time and mess up other people with them. But in Romans, the first chapter, it starts off with the revelation of God the Father. And it says, after Paul said that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, incidentally, the gospel is defined, the gospel of Christ, death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. But there's the gospel of the glory taught in the New Testament. Everybody ignores it. The book has the references together for you, but you can dig out the references yourself. There's the gospel of God. There's about 11 aspects of the Word of God, and all of them are a different line of thought and still called the gospel. When the Bible said, the glorious gospel, in most translations, go to the original, literally, it says the gospel of the glory. Why do we ignore the gospel of the glory? Now, in Romans, the first chapter, it said that the revelation of God, it said that after His greeting and so forth, He said, in it, the gospel, 1:17, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. You know what it says? God's revealed Himself through natural creation. It didn't say that's the way to know God, but it shows that you can know there's a supreme being by the things God has created. Isn't that wonderful? That's exactly what it said. And you can know something about the righteousness of God. But to establish the truth here, because, verse 21, when they knew God, how'd they know God? By the things God had created. They glorified Him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And God gave them up. Three times in this chapter it said God gave people up. My God, He gave them up. Why? They took the glory of God and changed it. And the worst thing, they change it into images and worship images. But wait a moment. The sin is from the heart and the mind before the action. And they take the invisible God and His glory and they change it. Either God is forming you or you're forming your own God.
Come on.
I fear and trembling and weeping before God that the Western church, Western world, has changed the true image of God in His glory. We have creeping things. We have foul things. We have our church organizations. We have our denominations. Did you know why we have so many segments? Sure, it's because a man is greedy, want to be something, want to be a big shot, want to lord over other. But you know why? Primarily it's this. True believers do not argue about who God is. They argue not who He is, but what He does and how He does it. Oh, that's not for us today. Well, don't you believe in God? Yes, but that died out with the apostles. So the differences come, practically all of them. Not in the personality and who God is, but what God does. I thank God for that revelation my dad had when he was a young teenager. On a mountain praying all day long, Lord, who do I represent? Finally, they didn't have neon those days. This is way back in 1905 or 6. There's flaming letters like flaming neon. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Baptist didn't die for you. The Methodist didn't raise from the dead for you. Presbyterian didn't ascend into heaven. I am the door. And this dear brother, Ron, how many heard his story in heaven? Boy, brother, that's precious, the story, but the man behind it. I wish each one of you could spend some personal time. I know it's impossible. My Lord and my God. Christ is the door. He saw everybody in heaven coming through Christ. Now watch. God gave some people up. God gave them up to reprobate minds. You want to know about homosexuality? Read that chapter. Read it. Men with men. Women with... That's what the Word of God said. And finally, to get what the Bible says, a reprobate mind. Study it. A reprobate mind has no longer the capacity and the conception of God and His mercy and His grace. No wonder it says God gave them up. It's God, that God couldn't reach them. Boy, Cunningham led Billy Graham to Christ, said, Clement, God gave me a vision. He said, I saw man's soul, his soul spirit, really. Every time the Holy Spirit dealt with it, it became soft or more hardened. He said, finally, to my horror, I saw nibbling away from the soul till there's nothing left. It's not that God cannot speak. It's a person can no longer hear.
That's it.
I stand here weeping. Now, God, since the beginning of time, has revealed Himself as Almighty God, the powerful God, unlimited by time, space, or natural law. If you're serving any other kind of God, it's not the true and living God. True and living God has revealed Himself. In 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, we know nothing except what the Spirit of God. You think you know who I am? You don't know who I am. I don't know who you are without divine revelation of God. And that is not, you have to have an angel appear, or you have to have a prophet and say, now you know Brother Bregee, I'm going to tell you who he is. No, it's an impression. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. God lets you know. Sometimes instantly He lets you know. You know that. I go all over the world and I met people, and from the word go, I don't ask them, what denomination do you belong to? Are you wholly sanctified? Have you ever gibbled in tongues? Grow up. Grow up! God lets you know. You meet them in not one minute. They don't have to say a thing. You're on the same page. Don't pray for unity. That's the long prayer. Pray for oneness. John, the 17th chapter, 5 times Jesus prayed for oneness. Unity can do something, but it's still human. I told you, it's horizontal. But if you're one with Him, and I'm one with Him, and we meet, we're automatically one.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to develop. It's already there. The oneness of Christ. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this God that has revealed Himself as the powerful God, the all-powerful God, unlimited by time, space, or natural law, has revealed Himself. Everything begins with God, not man. With God. And when He reveals Himself, He is that, or performs that, from that moment on. Anything He's ever done, He's big enough to do it again if it's according to His purpose and honor and glory. Then the revelation of God is not just Almighty God who can do anything, but the revelation of God is progressive. You think you know it all and got it all, the devil's got you in the blind alley with hoop and holler, and that's it the rest of your life. There are new things to know about God and His kingdom every day. A lot of it, get off of this, that you think God gives you everything to run tattle to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Get them on the phone. Get them this. And try to cram it down their throat. It's for you. Don't share your intimate divine romance secrets with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Ponder them, and God will show you when He can use them for His honor, for His glory. Say, Lord, here I am. And I'll tell you, it's hard. Sometimes you got to wait patiently. I never study for a sermon. I have to wait on God. And sometimes, boy, I'm almost ready. I'm during the night, wake up in a cold sweat. I know, I've got the Word of God. I got 2,000 sermons I preach. I could jerk one of those outlines and ready to go, man. Most of them without an outline. Give me a subject and I'll stand here and preach it. But I want to tell you something. For the time and the place and being not the permissive but the perfect will of God, it cost a man of God something. It cost a preacher something. Boy, talking about wait upon the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I had one sermon. Boy, others, even educated ministers said, boy, that's a masterpiece. But it's 11 years before God let me preach it. I hadn't absorbed it. I hadn't lived it. Part of you. So God's revelation of Himself is not only all-powerful, it is progressive, more and more to the end of the perfect day. We don't know it all, I repeat, we haven't got it all, but we're pressing on. Thank God for what we do know. We do experience.
Yes.
Then, I've already mentioned slightly this, it's cumulative. It keeps adding. Anything that comes new, if it doesn't build on the most holy faith that you already have, serving God, just say, no, thank you, I don't have time right now for that. But if it honors Jesus and it builds on who you are, it never destroys who you are and what you are and what you know. It just lifts it. If it's true revelation of God, it lifts you to a higher plane. Amen? Now, here in the book of Romans, and this Romans, I'll remind you again, is the constitution of the New Testament church. It is the Bill of Rights and the constitution of the kingdom of God is the book of Romans. So, God keeps adding and adding. Now, you refuse the revelation of God, and what happens? I've already mentioned you start forming your own God. You notice how unscriptural some people are? They mention great experience and all this, and they want your attention. They'll tell you all about it. They form their own God. I do not want to be guilty before God of forming my own God. I won't form a Baptist God, a Methodist God, a Pentecostal God, or an Armenian God, or a charismatic God. Watch out. He's already the perfect one.
King of kings.
I only know what He reveals.
That's right.
I only want to know at His time and all what He reveals. No wonder He said, "Be still and know that I am the Lord thy God." So right now, each one of us are letting God form us. Now see, the revelation of God is never for information. Oh, today. Oh, where did you get that, brother? Now, what scriptures, this and that and the other? Oh, I've got to have this information. You're on the wrong track. Things of God is not for information. It's for formation. To form us over in righteousness, as the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "For we all behold with an open face, like looking through a mirror or veil, the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory." The church refuses the glory, teaches it's not for us today and sweet by and by. The glory of God will be upon us. But Christ is coming back, Ephesians 5th chapter, for the church of glory. That's what it said in the original. Not we'll receive the glory when Christ comes. The glory of God. So you're forming your own God, or God is forming you. There's no in between. This is terrible. Now, in this formation of God, there's a lot of fundamental things that I'd like to mention. But I want to just mention briefly the seven redemptive compound names of Jehovah God. Now, Vinny and I were in a discussion on a trip, and I explained the seven redemptive. He got up that Sunday and preached on the 13 names of God. Well, there's many names of God.
Absolutely.
But redemptive, what is redemption? There's no redemption without the shedding of blood. The redemptive names of God is tied in to the incorruptible, precious, that's what Peter said, blood of Christ. That's why I can't even hardly sing, "There's power in the blood," unless I say, "There's power in the precious blood." I run the words together, Jesus. Because it's the precious blood without the shedding of blood. Now, the redemptive names of Jehovah God. All of these are found in Psalms, the 23rd chapter, which would be another sermon in itself. I may have slightly discussed this about 5 years ago here. But the seven redemptive compound names of God, Genesis 22, 13th and 14th verse, Jehovah, Yahweh, Yireh, or Jireh. There are no J's in the original, so that's why I'm trying to pronounce it almost correct. Jehovah Jireh. What does it mean? We sing it. What does it mean? So it's proper to go before the throne of God in that prayer. God's going to provide something. Address Him as Jehovah Jireh. Because that name is because of the precious shed blood of the sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? Now, God looks over all of us. You know, God's mercy. But you know, I may be ignorant in the first grade. God doesn't want me ignorant in the 12th grade.
For sure.
Hallelujah. I just say Jesus. I just say God. I never say Father God. Now, please don't hate me. Because one of His proper names is Our Father. And why I don't say Father God, you make Father an adjective. If you're comfortable with it, I don't have anything against you. You can pray that the rest of your life around me, and I'll never try to correct you. But me, I either address Him Father or address Him God. If I say Father God, Father becomes an adjective. My Father God is not an adjective. He is the Heavenly Father. Boy, it's quiet in here. Now, number two. Jehovah Rapha. What does it mean? Exodus 15:26 is revealed. The God that healeth thee. Now, if you and I don't believe He's Jehovah Jireh, it'll show out in our life. We'll constantly be in need day and night. If we don't acknowledge He's Jehovah Jireh, we'll be fighting sickness and disease the rest of our life. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that God what? Is. Everybody says, oh, God will reward you if you come to Him in faith. Children of Israel wanted the works of God. Moses wanted the ways of God.
That's right.
Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you know who God is, You don't have to fight all these little down on the floor all the time, pushing peanut shells around the rest of your Christian life. Saying, help me to hold out, in and out and down and up and all the rest. You're established.
Amen.
Who God is establishes you. Never, and then who you are in Christ. Never mind the works of God. Everybody today, and that's why we ministers are still preaching to the choir. We're supposed to be telling the world what God can do and accompanied with signs, wonders, and miracles.
Hallelujah.
We should never have to teach you believers. He can heal you. He can. You ought to know that the moment you're saved. You ought to keep living in that. I've taken precious time on national television, publication, all this, trying to get people in faith. Trying to teach them. And I want to tell you, they ought to be in faith and stay in the faith for the moment they said, yes, Lord, in salvation. Repent of their ungodly sins. Well, that's where the people are. Well, sometimes if you want them to live here, don't preach here. Well, you've got to make it simple so the audience, you have not. They won't know anything anyway unless God will reveal it through His Spirit. They won't. If you want high and holy congregation, preach it here. Then they'll come to here. If you preach it here, they'll sag down here always. So knowing who God is, not what God can do. He that cometh of God must believe that God is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him for healing, seek Him for things. Oh, God bless me. Oh, God. No, it didn't say that. It didn't. Read it. He that cometh of God must believe that God is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him for things. Didn't say that. We know God can answer prayer for anything. But that's not what God wanted His believers to rest on and live there. It said, he that cometh to God must believe that God is. Then He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek things, healing, miracles. They seek Him. If you seek Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee, seek Him, not the blessing.
Hallelujah. Oh,
Lord help me. If you want to stay in that babyhood Christian the rest of your life, that's up to you. Gimme, Lord, and forgive me. It's babyhood Christianity. That's not even milk of the Word. That's water of the Word, much less meat of the Word. Now, another redemptive name of Jehovah God, Jehovah Nisi, Exodus 17, verse 8 through 15. That's the Lord, our banner. And that banner over us is the banner of what?
Love.
If we're born of God, 1 John 5th chapter, if we're born of God, we love everybody that's born of God. If you hate the Baptist, get over it. It says if you're born again, you won't hate anybody. If you hate the Pentecostals, get over it. Jesus said by this, man, you know, in Jesus' day, there's these self-proclaimed messiahs and leaders and prophets, and they go all over the world. And I saw some of this in our day, but it's been a half a century or so. Guys would be wrapped with a sheet and a rope and tennis shoes, and they had some followers.
Hallelujah.
Then everybody wants their hair done just like this. They want their clothes just like this. We still have a lot of that. Late Raymond T. Ritchie used wonderfully of God in healing ministry. I knew him personally, lived in his home one time, 2 weeks at their invitation when I was young. But he said he'd go across America and he could tell in a convention or somewhere, he could tell almost which people from which church, which camp. Because the way they'd worship God or the way they lift their hand or the way they'd start their prayers. And boy, I want to be like this dear brother. Boy, he's dynamite for God. Get over it. Look beyond Him to the author and the finisher of your faith. He can teach you something you can know, but you're not to mimic Him or me. You're to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ. What God called you, be an imitator, Paul said. And only follow me, Paul said, as I follow Him. So the Lord is our banner. Jesus said, you won't know my disciples by the manner of dress, what to eat, and the way they act, and the way they lift their hand, or the way they pray. He said, you'll know my disciples because of love. If we have not love, we have not God. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, we have signs, wonders, and miracles, gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, tongues. Read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and said, I am nothing. Just a And it said, the first verse there said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. I wonder why that was the first one. You and I have put that way on down the list.
I know.
And he said, I'm just a, let me say it in street language, I'm some old refuge garbage cans waiting for the garbage collector to pick them up, talking in tongues, speaking in tongues, prophetic word, signs, wonders, and miracles, and have not love, I am nothing. And when God's inspired word says you are nothing, if we match that, brother, we're just a big zero, nothing.
That's right.
So, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Shalom, Judges 6:24. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Tiskenu, Jeremiah 23:6. In 2 Corinthians, what is 5:21? It said, he that knew no sin became sin. The very principle of sin, speaking of Jesus. The whole universe, seen and unseen, angels, demons, Satan himself could point to Calvary and say, there's the very principle of sin. He was made sin. Principle of sin. Read the rest. That we might be what? The righteousness of God. Lift your hand and say, I am the righteousness of God. If you'll start confessing that, even though you're not, you will be. Here he mentioned, too, the God of peace. You'll never have peace till you find out who God is. Then, as you confess, you're formed over in righteousness. He's not the God of peace for here. He's the God of peace for here and here. You remember a little illustration? This lady wants peace and we get the catchers there. Holy Ghost doesn't need catchers. I've seen thousands of people fall in the meetings on four continents. Some of them boast and say, boy, I'm going up there, but I'm not going to fall. Look out. They really show out big. One of them did a grasshopper kick in the air. I don't know how they did, up this high, and then hit flat. And the whole audience screamed out loud. Said, I'm not going to fall, but we can get our catchers. And this brother needs peace. And I keep pushing. Hallelujah. Do your part.
Yes.
Get out of the way and let God do His part. We claim we believe in the Holy Spirit. We want to do it all. Fall in catcher's arms. How is it, brother? Oh, praise God, I got peace. Walk out of here with a flat tire. Get a long distance call, and they put someone on. You haven't done a thing to them, and they just curse you out on the phone. Everything goes backwards. You didn't get peace.
No, you didn't.
There's a lot of difference in joy and happiness, and you know that. The joy of the Lord is their strength. And God said in Joel, and God said in Deuteronomy 28, if you don't serve the Lord God with joy, you'll serve your enemies. You'll be serving sin, sickness, disease, demon power, fear, the old man, the old nature, poverty. And poverty of wealth is only about 1/5 to 1/6 of that, you know, Bible scholars know. And death itself. You'll be in a whole lifetime of bondage to the fear of death. God have mercy. Serve the Lord with joy. Or this, that's what the Lord said. Yes. And I think it's Joel, the first chapter. So, brother, when the peace of God's there, it can rain. The peace of God's still there. All the hell will turn loose. And you identify, like the psalmist did, Psalms 120, verse 7. He didn't say, I am for peace. He said, I peace. The Hebrew pronoun doesn't use a verb. The only way to translate that into Western thought is, I am peace. See, we're partaker of the divine nature. And what I'm trying to tell you, we still, oh, praise God, I'm saved by grace. Then we work the rest of our life. Work on this little thing. Work on that little thing. Work on all the rest. See, I am love. I don't try. Because that's what it said in 1 John 4 chapter. God is love. God is love. Verse 17. As He, God, is what? Love. As He, God, is love, so are we in the sweet by and by. We'll eat pie in the sky. No. So are we in this present world. You're looking at love. It's only the mercy of God. The grace of God. It's only through the blood. The Word, the power of the Holy Spirit. I am peace. Quit seeking what you've already got if you'll claim it.
Yes, amen.
Let God form you over in righteousness. All right, these are the names. Jehovah Ra, Psalms 23:1, the Lord our Shepherd. Then, of course, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Ezekiel 48:35, Exodus 33:1. So, The Bible said we have Colossians 1:27. It said we have Christ, the what? Hope. This mystery among you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why have hope if there's no glory there? I better be quick here. Romans 8:17. You know, Paul hadn't mentioned the Holy Spirit in all of Romans. He gets in verse chapter 8, and I think it's mentioned 19 times. So he speaks here, we'll be glorified together. And it said the manifestations of the sons of God. Well, if you'll read the next verse, everybody wants to know what that manifestation of sons of God is. The Bible explains the Bible. If not the next verse, somewhere. All scriptural truth is related to truth. So the manifestation of sons of God, it said the glory shall, next verse, shall be revealed, not to us, in us. In us. But I can take other scriptures and show the glory will be revealed to us, in us, and through us. I'm giving you a new step of faith. Please take it. 500 years ago, God said, I'm a righteous God. That brought the Protestant Reformation.
Right.
200 years later, God said, I'm a righteous God, and you can only be righteous by faith.
That's right.
200 years later, God said, I'm a holy God. We had the Wesleyan Holiness Revival sweep the world. 100 years ago or so, God said, I'm God the Holy Spirit. He's always been the Holy Spirit, but a new revelation. And you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That brought the so-called Pentecostal revival. God always moves ahead. He still does. He's the God of righteousness. He's the God of holiness. He's the God of the Holy Spirit. But He's also the Father of glory.
Right.
Why is He the Father of glory? It's all through the Bible, all through the New Testament. Hebrews 2:10 said, the captain of our salvation. Who is that? Jesus. He'll lead many sons. Are you a son or daughter of God? He said He'd lead you into what? Glory. Unto glory. Not just into the here and hereafter. I'm speaking of the now and now. I'm not speaking any thousand years, millennial reign. My subject is the present, right now. And the Lord is present. Sons the glory. The glory of God, like I said, will be revealed to us, in us, and through us. And it said in verse 19 of that 8th chapter, we wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. But then later in verse 30, verse 7 of that 8th chapter, it said that we're called and we're sanctified. And God calls it a closed case. We're already glorified. My Lord. We're already glorified. We're already saved if we receive it. When Christ died on Calvary, now if a sinner gets saved today, he doesn't have to go back and die on Calvary. By His stripes ye were healed. Praise God. So the glory of God. The Bible said we're bone of His flesh in Ephesians. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And Corinthians, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. This is a little bit of the gospel of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8. They wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory if they'd have known who He was. 2 Corinthians 4:6. It speaks here of the glory of God. Romans 6:4. How many believe in the resurrection? It said that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory, the Shekinah glory. There's glory of the Son, glory of the Spirit, and glory of the Father. They're intermixed, interlaced, overlapping, but they're distinct. We're talking about the Shekinah glory that's in the Garden of Eden. Restoration of all things. Jesus said this. He said in Luke 24:49, all, He's speaking to, after His resurrection, He reminded them. He said, all the things that have been prophesied concerning Me by all of the prophets and in the Psalms
and Moses
shall be fulfilled. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 10, I believe also Luke 10, no, Matthew 11, He said, right before He said, come unto Me, all ye, you know what He said? Everything would be known, revealed, proclaimed, preached. All of it. All of it. Now, do we know? Well, someday, in the sweet by and by, we'll know as we're known. Who said that is in the hereafter? It said, when the perfect one comes, Christ the perfect one, but the vowels, the verbs don't match if you say a person there. That is for Christ's church. It's going to reach perfection, believe it or not. Nobody's perfect, Clement. Oh, my. Quit talking the world's language. Be ye perfect as I am perfect, he said. That means complete.
That's right.
That means you fit in where it's two words used, and one of them's fit in like a joint. You don't have an elbow and a hand sticking out of your back. That is one word for protection, for perfection. And the other is you grow up. You grow up in the Lord. So, Romans 2:7 said, we seek for glory. 2:10, glory to every man. Then it says in verse 11, notice, it's talking about the glory. It said God is not respecter of any person. We use that for everything else except we take it out by itself. And it says, you know, that it's concerning the glory. God's not respecter. He gave them Adam and Eve. Great. Amen. So I know that my time has expired and I hadn't hardly scratched the surface, but I just got to read some scriptures for the doubters. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him. Boy, that's what we want, isn't it? Ephesians 1st chapter, verse 17. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His right hand in heavenlies. I just mentioned Romans 6:4, God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory. Acts 7:2, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And the sight of the glory of the Lord, Exodus 24:17, 33:18, was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Again, you remember Isaiah 60 caught a vision of this. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And His glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Jesus is prophesied of Jesus. He'll make the feet, the place of His feet glorious. Isaiah 60, 13. Where is the resting place of God's feet? The earth. And this is for the earth. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. In Isaiah 6, 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I've heard a whole congregation, whole congregations in the Spirit start singing that, but they wouldn't sing the rest of it. Holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with His glory. And then He said this, Ezekiel 26:20. If you think the glory is for the sweet by and by, listen to this scripture. I will set my glory in the land of the living. And God said, as surely as I live, how many believe we have a live God? Or as sure as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Numbers 14:21 and Psalms 72:19. Blessed is His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. And it says, Amen, Amen.
Hallelujah.
Will someone say Amen?
Amen.
The glory of the latter house, Haggai 2:9, shall be greater than the former. And the Bible said, Isaiah 45, chapter 40, verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall, now speaking of the revelation of who God is. And we've got to let Him form us, or we're forming our own God, not the true and living God. Sounds like God, form of God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Are you still living in the physical body?
Yes.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Habakkuk. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What, 7/8 of the surface of the earth is water. My, what oceans of glory is going to come. And we sit and looking through the rear glass mirror. Well, I hope to God for the end of time we'll get another Pentecost. Not me, we had one. I want the next thing God's going to do. Blessed be His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. And I shall set my glory in the land of the living, and the earth shine with the glory of God. And they shall declare my glory among the heathen. Isaiah 66:19. You talk about missionary and in gathering and the kingdom of God preached to all nations, then the end will come. I'll tell you, wait to the heathen. They're just now learning the name of Jesus. And a few little miracles, wait till the glory comes, brother. The whole nations will turn to the Lord. And God will do mighty things and cut it short in a short work. And I will glorify, God said, the house of my glory. Romans 5:2 said, rejoice in the hope of glory, because there is glory. And you seek that glory. The glory shall be revealed in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, bringing many sons to glory. Praise God. Lord, thank you for the revelation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be formed over and make our own God, be in the image of our little religious idol, or some little blessing, or some little church, some little name. My God, we want to be renewed, changed into the same image of Christ, from glory unto glory. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.